Johnson, reel 5.
But it wasn't easy. There was only one other girl who got married, all during the whole of the voyage. It was an unheard of thing, and of course weddings were frowned upon because it was expense. And you couldn't have any icing on a wedding cake because sugar was rationed. You couldn't have icing on a wedding cake. And anything that was at all expensive or any of that sort was just not allowed. Now, when I went to Buckingham Palace for the Royal Red Cross, that was King George. And when we'd finished the investiture, which is, well, you'll have seen many on television, haven't you?
No, I haven't.
Have you not?
Could you describe it?
Oh, well, I can dear, yes. I'll show you the gem when you had to look at it. I was notified that I, first of all, it was gazetted. Shall we look at those separately, or do you want to look at them now?
Oh, why don't you show me?
I can show you them now, dear, yeah. I was gazetted in the paper. The first I knew of it was when I went down to Maitland's office. The day sisters used to go down as well. And she said, oh, well, I must congratulate you, sister. I said, oh, why? She said, well, your name is in the paper, you've been gazetted for the Royal Red Cross. I said, well, I have no idea. So, of course, I was very delighted, and then I got a... These were the lists that we used to get. Royal Red Cross awards, the King's Lee Priest Award, the Royal Red Cross. Now, only matrons got the first-class gold ones. I'll show you, ma'am, it's in the specimen cabinet there. I'm not tired of you. I've struck any time you like.
Oh, no.
No, I think it's here somewhere. Eastleys were. I don't know. Well, I know it's here. Mrs. Louis Johnson, I was married then. May Walker. Eastleys War Hospital, Second Lord General Hospital, that's the one.
And this was the first you knew of?
That's the first I knew of, yes. Matron told me when I went downstairs, she said, did you know that you'd been gazetted for the Royal Red Cross? I said, I've no idea. And so she said, well, you have. And she said, congratulations. So I was really thrilled about it. I thought it was wrong. But of course, my parents were delighted, and my husband was delighted.
This is June 1918.
Yes. Your attendance is required at Buckingham Palace on Saturday next, the 20th inst, at 10:30 o'clock, in indoor uniform with gloves. Please telegraph acknowledgement. Which I did, and I'll show you how I went. Unless you're getting tired, are you getting tired? The only thing I'm not quite certain about is a number of units in the anti-tetanus serum, so don't take a note of that. 3 injections, but I'm not quite certain of the dosage. I can't quite remember that. I noticed with much pleasure. Oh, this was from the matron in chief. And your name appears in the Gazette. For better reason, by as much to the king. I'm very glad that you've received this honor in recognition of your good services. But that's from the matron in chief in London, in the War Office. I think these are all connected, isn't it? That telegram was the one that was vitally important because I had to acknowledge that I could go that day, you see. Secretary Gorris presents his compliments to Mrs. L. Johnson. Next upon that her name has been placed in the waiting list. Oh, that was the waiting list for investiture at the palace in the due course, and no date. Well, then following that, I got the telegrams, you see. They warned you first that you were going to be called. I suppose people have to make arrangements, you see. I think that's another investiture paper, so one ticket for a friend to witness the investiture back in Paris to obtain their plan. Well, my parents were both in London at this time, and so I wanted them to come. But then my husband was also home on leave, you see, so I wrote to the, if we lost on, sent for them, I think. And I wrote and I said that I was very pleased to have them here for my parents, but as I was married and my husband had served for so many years, I think it was in the 29th division, could I have an extra ticket? And this was the notification. You see, we had scraps of paper in those days, people were very short. And that was my thing, and there I have the tickets which I showed to them. I think that's all connected with the Royal Red Cross. Would you like to see the Royal Red Cross now and then see it all?
Yes.
Well, here is it. I'll put this light on. If you won't look inside this cupboard, because I stuck things in here, that was the original thing, loaned by Lady Hepton to the nurse's sitting room for the duration of the war. So I leave that in there. That was, it was rather sweet of her. It's what was good, and so I'm told those H hinges are supposed to be rather valuable, I believe.
Well, it's quite attractive.
Yeah, it's quite attractive. Have you ever seen original Mondi, Mummy?
No.
That's original Mondi. I don't think I can do it. Now that's the Royal Red Cross there. That was my ticket that I had to take with me. Well, when we went into one of the doors. We were immediately directed to the waiting room, where we were taught the curtsy and the procedure. The procedure is that you stand in a corridor with everything at hand, waters and seats and everything made at hand, with an orchestra playing in the background. And your name is called individually, so that when you go into the house, there is no other recipient. There is only one, which I think is rather nice. Guests are at either side of the throne. And you walk in and turn, and you curtsy. And you walk 6 steps forward to the king and curtsy. Then he pins this onto me and thanked me for what I had done, curtsy again, walk backwards 6 steps, curtsy again and go out. But at that time you are the only one in the palace, in the redecorated. Then the name called out, the next one would be called out. When you go out into that waiting corridor again, the next name is called, which makes it very personal. Yeah, very personal. And that was my badge, my serving badge, which I was allowed to keep because of the service. It was supposed to be handed back, a Terry Force nursing service, and that's the badge which Queen Alexandra said that I would gave me permission to keep.
Is this the same as this?
Yes, that's this one, yes. That was the one worn on the uniforms. And on duty, of course, you don't wear them there. You only wear it supposedly in the presence of royalty or in command. You wear that little button. And I wear it every year at an armistice day. Those are my husband's medals. That's my husband's identification list. You may not have seen one of those. All officers wore those. They're different. The men had one round their necks. The officers had one on their wrists. I don't think there's anything I really want to look at.
Have you ever had an opportunity to wear this?
Only at Buckingham Palace. I've never worn it since, no. I've never worn it since. I could have done. You could wear it at ceremonial things, an armistice day meeting or a military meeting. You could wear it at anything like that. Anything that is of a military attachment, but I never do, no. I wear that on armistice day. That's what I wore. That is the same one. That was taken by, quite a mountain, but my mother liked it. And so that's why I keep it. My parents liked it, so that's why I keep it. There's nothing there. They will deal with things. Then I told you about that little Miss Martha. She was this little dot of a girl. And she followed me round, so
when I was married, she sent me those. They're real ivory and antique. Rather nice, not a tea strainer and a teapot. One of rather nice of them. These are things given to my husband. He was in the dining house. I think you ought to have a break now.
Well, look here, you'll have to strain off some nuts, won't you?
I'm just showing it to show you the little papers we had during the war years. And there was a DCM. But to show you, we had a lot of Irishmen. You see, that's the Royal Dublin Fusiliers. He was decorated. He was in my ward, and we went down. These were other sisters. There was just a little group of us about, and one of the photographers came to put it in this paper. They collected up a few of the sisters. I don't know which man it was now, I can't remember. But we had a lot of Irishmen.
Are you in here?
Yes, that's me.
Does your hat show your rank?
No, these two stripes on the sleeve show the rank. The sisters wore two red stripes. Now, I did show you this ward, didn't I, dear? That's one ward.
Yes.
I did show you that, didn't I? This, it's rather unfortunate in a way. I'll show you a letter which I had, because a lot of my things I've sent to the Military Museum at York. But that was my collar and cuffs when I went to Buckingham Palace. My little collar. We wore these. These low collars, you see, like that.
What is this made of?
Linen, stiff linen. Oh, it didn't make her mix so small. Not like the nice uniforms they wear now.
Is the uniform you're wearing in that photograph your usual uniform?
That was the indoor uniform, yes, the indoor uniform. And I'll show you the outdoor uniform in a moment. Oh, it's nice to sit down by the radio. It's cold when you move away from the fire, isn't it? I told you about a field dressing station on Gallipoli, didn't I? Well, that was, I wasn't married then. That's a field dressing station on Gallipoli. And that's my fiancé when he was there. Now you can imagine the amount of care that they could get there, infinitesimal. I've been out to Gallipoli since then, and there was the 29th Division and the Royal Naval Division, which were two of the divisions taking part in the Gallipoli campaign, organised a reunion for the dedication of the Cape Helles Memorial. And my husband and I went to it. It was very interesting indeed. But nothing had been touched when we were there. This is the 1930s, 1934. Even the old water carriers and the old gun emplacements, the Turks had left everything. But the cemeteries were absolutely beautiful. Perfectly kept. Of course, there is a war graves committee. They go round all over the world where there are British war graves, and the war graves really were beautiful there. But it was a calamitous campaign. But that was, well, as it was then, my fiancé's, that was his dressing station.
Did he write to you about what the situation was like?
Oh, yes, I have stacks of letters, a whole bank of them.
So you did know?
Oh, yes.
I had the impression there were many people in England who actually didn't really know what it was like overseas.
Well, he couldn't write and tell me what it was like. But then I got it from the men. You see, I knew what it was like from the men because they told me. For instance, when I was night superintendent, we had an early morning convoy. It came in very early in the morning. And I was round in one ward. When we had a convoy, I used to go round each ward where they took them as they came in to be with the night nurse in charge. And I noticed there were a lot of 6th East Yorkshires. So I said, oh, my brother, Lieutenant Walker, is in the 6th East Yorkshire. So one badly wounded man, he called out, he says, oh, yes, I know him.
He said, I buried him yesterday. Well, I just stood. I was frozen to the spot for a moment. And another man, who was a sergeant, called out, wait a minute, sister, wait a minute. He said, what was Lieutenant Walker's initial? Because he said, I was there too. I said, he was George. Well, he said, this one was not Lieutenant George Walker. But you see, you had to face that. And I think I had two or three of those cars. You know those cars they used to get, have you seen them? Field, what they call field cars. I brought one round, I brought a lot upstairs. The men were given these cards, they were buff cards, about the size of a postcard, on it, I am well. I have had your letter, I have something else, signed. And I had quite a lot of these coming, but I also had two or three notifications from the headquarters in London, after I was married, that my husband was missing. You see, well, you just don't know what to do, you just wait. And for 3 weeks after the armistice, I had no idea where he was. Because he was in France, he was at Thiepval, as it happened, and he couldn't get any communications through. So the men themselves didn't write in letters. They would just probably say, things are pretty bad, or things are improving, or the weather's bad, because they were all censored. You see, they couldn't tell you what they were doing. Everything was censored, you see. Every letter was censored.